This is more people than we're used to for these events, so that's great. Thank you very much. First of all, thank you all for coming. Second of all, thanks to Pat and the Rio for hosting us. Pat have been great hosts for all kinds of bike events over the years. As a quick note of introduction, my name is Chris Johnson. My co-hosts tonight are from Bike Fork Collins, Dot Dickerson and Bruce Henderson, as well as Dan Porter from yourgroupride.com. Three years ago, I was part of the initial effort to bring the US Pro Challenge to Northern Colorado. As part of that effort, I produced a video that focused on the idea that there's no such thing as a Fort Collins cyclist or a Windsor cyclist or a Loveland cyclist. We're all Northern Colorado cyclists. And in that video, we filmed civic leaders from those cities and from Larimer County echoing that sentiment. Our daily lives don't begin and end at city limits, and the Pro Challenge proved to be a turning point for regional collaboration and cooperation in Northern Colorado. We brought together law enforcement, public works, emergency management, and folks from different municipalities to the table on a scale that I don't think I've ever seen. I don't think Northern Colorado had ever seen. And in fact, some of that intergovernmental planning and cooperation became very helpful when only weeks after the race in 2013, the floods of 2013 devastated the region. And we actually called on some of the collaboration and cooperations that we'd made in our emergency response to those efforts. Many of the people in this room were involved with that race and were involved with the floods and are involved with the race again this year. And with the addition of Buckhorn and Risk Canyons and the new route, we're seeing the additional dimension of coordinating repair and recovery efforts with the safety and technical efforts for the event. And it's been a huge cooperative effort. And I think it's one that Northern Colorado should be really proud of. And we're putting the region first. And what I said in 2012 is true, not just for Colorado cyclists, but we are all Northern Coloradoans. Fort Collins has been recognized by the League of American Cyclists as one of the most bike-friendly communities in the U.S. We are on a platinum shortlist with only three other cities. Again, a number of the people who made that happen are here tonight. Northern Colorado in general has, simply put, the best civic leadership country. We have a public safety challenge that demands all of that leadership and that expertise. In previous years, Northern Colorado has seen a number of cycling fatalities and serious injuries at the hands of negligent drivers. The conditions have been varied, from city streets to county roads to state highway frontages. In the overwhelming majority of these cases, the cyclists were law-abiding. In many cases, the cyclists and drivers crossed multiple jurisdictions on the trips where they died. Now, I should probably add at this point that I am a cyclist, and two of the recent deaths happened on my daily commute route on county and state roads in Fort Collins on between the ranch and Loveland. So this is especially haunting and resonant for me. I'm a full-time bike commuter, also a good driver. I have a clean license, and I drive regularly for work. I drove the PA down here, in fact, tonight. But I prefer to ride. I ride for the health benefits. I ride for the economic benefits. I ride for the environmental impact, to do my part to curb gridlock and wear and tear on infrastructure, and for the sense of connectedness I feel navigating my community by bike. Every day, all around us, we are indoctrinated with language and laws that reinforce the primacy of cars in American life. We have vast swaths of public space and infrastructure reserved primarily or exclusively for the expediency of motor vehicles at the expense of other users and classes. Over 30,000 people die in America each year in car crashes. 30,000. By definition, each one of these crashes is a failure of attention, infrastructure, or education. We all know people have died in cars. We've all seen people that have been killed by cars, yet culturally there's very little respect for this crisis. It's not even seen by most people as a crisis. Because to think of it as a crisis would require us to rethink how we plan and how we share our roads and our streets on a very basic and expensive level. But the result of this rethinking is not just good for cyclists, but good for all other road users and users of public space. Cyclists are not the only victims of auto-centric planning and enforcement, but they are among the most vulnerable. They're canaries in the coal mine that tell us that we need to change how we plan. And there are many here who have experience in that planning. There is a great parable about perspective and cooperation that involves a group of blind men asked to identify an elephant by touch alone. Different perspectives result in comically different attempts at the answering of the question. Moral of that's pretty obvious to me. Big challenges require great communication and collaboration. I have seen the people in this room and the people of Northern Colorado rise to that challenge put on a world-class sporting event. I think we can rise to the challenge again to save lives. To insist on better public and law enforcement education and codes about and best practices in sharing public roads. To insist that media and public information apparatuses for municipal agencies use language that holds drivers accountable for negligence and stop subconscious victim blaming of cyclists. To insist that our region continues to develop consistent, safe infrastructure, signage, and responses to hazards around city limits and across city limits. To insist on true accountability to those who injure or kill cyclists. Accountability that makes visible examples of transgressors and makes certain that the consequences and stakes of negligence are known to everyone who uses public roads and streets in Northern Colorado. Tonight, we are going to break this conversation down into three components and have presentations about all three. We have education, infrastructure, and enforcement. Dan and Bruce and Dot are going to lead the different conversations about that. And we'll call on all of you, especially the municipal leaders that have joined us tonight, to enter into a conversation about our goals and our challenges and our strategies for overcoming those challenges. And I have some stipulations for that conversation. We all know that there are scofflaw cyclists out there. We know that the rates of lawbreaking by cyclists versus car are very similar, but that most fatalities and serious injuries result from negligent drivers, not cyclists. We stipulate that cyclists always lose in these interactions. We stipulate that cyclist education is a crucial part of road safety, while asserting that much time and effort by city and local advocacy groups already focuses on cycling education, and that the bike community is leading this charge in cyclist education and needs municipal leadership to help us reach law enforcement and the general public. Oh, jump a little ahead. And we stipulate that everyone in this panel and everyone in this room is empowered to help make public roads in Northern Colorado safer for all users. Everyone brings unique perspective to the challenge, and respect of that experience and perspective is critical, as is an open mind. I had a panel list here, but I think it may be a little bit outdated, so I'm gonna actually go ahead and just let everybody introduce themselves. There's a couple of mics. If we could just go down the panel, everybody could give a brief introduction and say who they are.
Is it working? I'm Sergeant Armstrong with the Colorado State Patrol out of Fort Collins, the officer I-25 in Harmony.
Good evening. My name is John Kafalas, State Senator, Senate District 14, represent most of the city of Fort Collins, and I bicycled here this evening.
Good evening. I'm Mark Ingemon, Larimer County's Public Works Director, and two of the Public Works departments are Engineering and Road and Bridge.
I'm Mark Peterson. I'm the county engineer.
I'm Brad Tucker, here wearing two hats tonight. One is I'm the vice president of the board of directors of Bicycle Colorado, the state bicycle advocacy organization. And then in another capacity, I have a law practice that you may know as Colorado Bike Law or ColoradoBikeLaw.com. And so I have a very niche specialty of representing bicyclists in bike accident cases.
Good evening. My name is Emily Humphrey, and I'm the second assistant district attorney here in Fort Collins in Larimer County.
Hi, my name is Craig Horton, and I am a lieutenant with the Fort Collins Police.
I'm Ross Kniff. I'm on the Fort Collins City Council representing District 5, which is West Central Fort Collins. And I didn't bike today, but I do bike about 60% of the time during the fair weather. So.
And my name is Tessa Grieger, and I'm the FC Bikes Program Manager for the City of Fort Collins.
And hi, my name is Joe Olson. I'm the City Traffic Engineer for the City of Fort Collins.
I just want to do a little, we have one of those what we call good problems, which is that I'm hearing that the folks in the back, there's so many of us here that you guys are having a hard time hearing us. I'm going to do what I can about that up here. We'll try really hard. On the other hand, if we could get the speakers to project as much as we can, we'll see what we can do to keep that problem under control. I want to give this to Bruce for a second to talk about Vision Zero.
Thanks, Chris. So again, I'm Bruce Henderson, president of Bike Fort Collins. So I've had the dubious distinction of hosting two ghost bike ceremonies, both within a month of each other. So the distinction about both of them was both of the cyclists were not doing anything wrong. One was riding, Cesar Palermo was riding north on LeMay in the bike lane. Steve Stute was taking the lane on Dector Road. This is what he should have done on a road that has no bike lane and no shoulder. Both of them were killed by drivers. For me, besides being a real wake-up call, and Chris kind of mentioned this too, something that could have happened to any of us that are cyclists, it's really an outrage that this is happening, and it's two people too many for this to happen to. I've been looking at this program, Vision Zero, for some time. It's a program that started in Sweden in 1997. It primarily was implemented in Western Europe, Sweden, Netherlands, Germany. Since it started in Sweden, they've had a 50% reduction in traffic fatalities overall. And the program, by the way, is focused on driving the number of fatalities to zero, period. That's the plan. Since that time, it's gained a lot of steam in the U.S. So there is actually a bill in the House of Representatives that was introduced this spring to provide funding for cities and counties who want to start their own Vision Zero programs. The bill is still waiting for more support, I think, but just to give you some idea of where it's at. On both the East Coast and the West Coast, there have been a lot of cities and some other larger areas, maybe the counties, that have been implementing their own Vision Zero programs. So on the East Coast, New York City, Boston, Washington, D.C., West Coast, San Francisco, L.A., Silicon Valley, areas like that. Some of the things that the cities have been looking at in Vision Zero in the engineering infrastructure area, they've been focused on high injury and high accident areas of the city. So the basic idea being no city can afford to go out and do the type of work this would require to every single road that they've got. So they're really focusing on the high payback parts of the city. But things they're looking at with engineering are infrastructure improvements, road alignment, crosswalks, complete streets, street lights, bikeways, road diets, and also prioritizing VMTs over level of service, which is new for a lot of communities. Under the enforcement area, with enforcement in a lot of communities, they're also looking at the high injury or the high payback roads rather than trying to spread their resources over all the roads because there just aren't enough resources. Looking at things like speeding, cell phone use, more focus on crosswalks, school zones, that type of thing, and then also a lot of outreach and, red light enforcement. I forgot about that. And under education, there have been a lot of programs, and this actually started in Europe, focused on driver education. A lot of it has been truck drivers who are in the commercial trucking business, as well as just drivers in general. There have also been a lot more focus on kids' education as well. So why do I mention all this? A couple of reasons. One is to get you all thinking about it. Also, Chris put up a slide a minute ago showing that we are going to try to segment this conversation into three areas, starting with education, and Dot's going to get up and talk about that momentarily. With Vision Zero, I would like to see us as a community on the city-wide portion of it or county-wide start a Vision Zero program. And certainly Bike for Collins is interested in that and is completely behind doing that and is willing to help lead that. If you're interested in helping out with Vision Zero, certainly let me know afterwards. And I think one of the things that you didn't mention was signing up. So over at the table in the middle of the room with the guy by the red shirt are two laptops. If you, we're going to try to send out minutes from this meeting. So if you're interested in getting the minutes, sign up on one of those. And then in the back of the room, we have strategically placed people who are waving right now. And if you see one of those, or in the front as well, Wendy's up here. If you see one of those people, they can get you signed up as well. What I was going to mention was when you sign up, if you're interested in working on Vision Zero, indicate that. And I'm done.